Today is Monday, November 21st. I'm Nina Carrigia.
And I'm Lisa Anderson. And this is a special Fun Drive edition of News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from the Student Union Building at the University of British Columbia to the UBC campus, the residents of Vancouver, and to listeners of our newscasts and podcasts on the internet.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taken to the streets.
he was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
What's left of us? Just a big mistake. There's nothing more.
Good evening. It is 5:07 and time for another full hour of independent news. Today, we'll be dedicating our show to the importance of independent media, and we'll tell you how you can take part in making sure that that news shows like News 101 can keep bringing you information on world events from an alternative perspective.
All this plus your weekday weather forecast right here on News 101, your source for independent, local, national, and international news.
But first, headlines from the Free Speech Radio News.
Ethiopian troops reportedly entered Somalia on Sunday as part of a military operation against Al-Shabaab insurgents. The convoy is the largest Ethiopian incursion into the country since an unpopular invasion nearly 5 years ago. For FSRN, Mohammed Sheikh Noor reports.
Eyewitnesses in central Somalia say that Ethiopian troops entered the Hiran and Galgaduud regions and set up bases in towns and along major roads. Somalian Ethiopian troops are reportedly very close to the town of Beledweyne, which is controlled by Al-Shabaab insurgents. People in Gente Kundishe, where Ethiopian troops have established a base, say that the town is very tense and that Al-Shabaab leaders are urging people to fight back against the Ethiopian invaders. The Ethiopian government has denied the presence of hundreds of their soldiers in the area. In the past, Ethiopian troops have repeatedly crossed the Somali border to carry out incursions and cross-border raids. Reports of the invasion come as Kenyan troops continue their efforts to defeat fighters of the Islamist Al-Shabaab fighters in the south of Somalia. Mohammed Sheikh Noor, FSRN, Mogadishu.
In Manipur State, India, authorities have burnt down homes belonging to an indigenous community, leaving hundreds of people homeless. FSRN's Sharia Nazi has the story.
Manipur state government has burned down hundreds of floating huts belonging to the Mithai peoples. The government accuses the fishing community of polluting the Loktak Lake, but they say that a hydroelectric dam is responsible. The Asian Human Rights Commission issued an urgent appeal after the community was evicted. About 5,000 people were living in the huts in various localities within the Loktak Lake area before the eviction, which was carried out by officers from the Loktak Development Authority and the state police. Burning the huts was just the first stage in a government operation to clear the area. More than 1,000 other huts are also threatened with destruction. Lamenting that the government's policy has virtually cut off all sources of livelihood for them, the fishermen said that they should have been given alternate means of income generation before being evicted. $800 was offered to each family as compensation before burning down their huts. However, most rejected this because it wasn't enough to compensate them for the loss of their home and livelihood. Shurai Niazi, FSRN India.
Students and staff at the University of California, Davis, are demanding the resignation of the school's chancellor after police injured students protesting on campus. Several students were pepper sprayed at a protest on Friday held in support of the Occupy Wall Street movement and in solidarity with students at the University of California, Berkeley, who had also been attacked by police while protesting tuition hikes. Online video shows students at UC Davis, who had earlier tried to set up an encampment on campus,
shame
being pepper sprayed at close range
shame
while holding a sit-in. At least 9 students hit by the spray were treated at the scene. 3 were taken to hospital and later released, and 10 people were arrested. The chief of the university police has since been placed on a paid leave, as have the 2 officers who sprayed the students. American oil company Chevron has admitted responsibility for a massive oil spill off the coast of Brazil. Brazilian regulators said more than 2,500 barrels of oil have leaked from an oil well owned by the company in the past 2 weeks. Chevron initially underreported the size of the spill before being forced to admit that it was many times larger than it had first stated. Chevron now claims that it has sealed the well, but Brazilian officials say oil continues to leak into the ocean. Environmental groups have also criticized Chevron for the methods they are using to clear up the spill. Instead of soaking it up, oil is being pushed to the bottom of the ocean through the use of chemical dispersants, putting corals in the area at risk. In recent years, Brazil has discovered billions of barrels of oil in deep water, but this most recent spill has prompted debate about offshore drilling in the region. Activists opposed to the drilling of natural gas wells in the Delaware River Basin claimed a victory today after the Delaware River Basin Commission postponed a vote on the controversial issue for the third time. If new regulations were adopted, they would have lifted the moratorium on gas drilling, allowing the gas drilling technique of hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, to be used in the region. More than 250,000 people submitted comments, petitions, and letters opposing the change to the rules, and a demonstration was organized for outside the meeting.
Within the Delaware River Basin, this fight is far from over.
Barbara Arundel is director of Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, part of a coalition of groups opposed to fracking.
In other places where it's been used, it has produced water contamination, air contamination, destruction of the physical landscape, and people's health.
Over 700 chemicals are used in the controversial process. Critics have warned that these threaten the drinking supply for 15.6 million people in the Delaware River Basin. The commission could still organize another vote on the issue, and campaigners have pledged to keep up the pressure. And those are the headlines for Free Speech Radio News. In Oakland, California, I'm George Lavender.
Thank you to FSRN for those headlines. Daily headlines and their full newscast can be found at fsrn.org. You're listening to News 101 here on CITR 101.9 FM. And these are your local headlines.
Members of Occupy Vancouver have begun dismantling their encampment at the Vancouver Art Gallery after the BC Supreme Court handed down an injunction on Friday ordering the removal of all structures from the gallery plaza by 2 p.m. Monday, that is today. Speaking to reporters at City Hall this afternoon, Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson said he's pleased with the cleanup so far at Occupy Vancouver. Eric Hamilton-Smith, one of the organizers of Occupy Vancouver, said the site has filled a gap in social service provision in Vancouver, serving over 100 meals a day, providing shelter and round-the-clock basic education and community building. Round-the-clock basic health care for around 30 otherwise homeless people, as well as social justice, education, and community building. Quote, Occupy Vancouver is a non-violent movement, Hamilton Smith emphasized, when asked if the eviction could get turbulent, but added that people, quote, people are free to act as they please. The General Assembly, the decision-making forum which happens every night at 7 p.m. at the gallery, will continue. The movement will continue to take direct action to draw attention to financial interference in politics, environmental damage, corporate irresponsibility, homelessness, and other social issues.
Last week, Premier Christy Clark and the Liberals introduced minor changes to the Mines Act, which involves opening 8 new mines in BC. This is a key part of Clark's job strategy, the most important policy initiative she's launched since becoming Premier early this year. Besides 8 new mines over the next 4 years, Clark has said there will be upgrades to 9 existing ones. The move has triggered an avalanche of protest from the Sierra Club of BC, which accused the government of looking to clear ways for mining companies to bulldoze the province. Sierra Club President George Heyman said Clark's Liberals are heading in the opposite direction of public opinion if they loosen regulations to open more mines. Quote, we're not anti-mining, I want to be clear about that, said Heyman. But if the government is going to stake BC's economic future on mining, then we should do it in an environmentally responsible way that's transparent, science-based, and has good environmental assessment processes. End quote. He said British Columbians oppose relaxed approval standards for mining developments and fear the province will make sacrifices today that could cause future regret.
This weekend, Gregor Robertson beat NPA challenger Suzanne Anton by a strong margin of 18,000 votes in the 2011 civic election in Metro Vancouver. Robertson said, quote, we definitely want to focus on community engagement, working with neighborhoods, And the city is growing, but we've got a lot of pressure to grow and develop. Our economy is strong, and we have to do that very carefully and thoughtfully, working with our neighborhoods, end quote. Vision Vancouver, a part of Mayor Robertson's plan, swept up the top 7 council seats, 5 school trustee seats, and 5 park board seats. The nonpartisan association secured 2 council seats, and the Green Party candidate Adrian Carr rounds up the list. Mayor Robertson said work resumes on Sunday, and he wants Vision Vancouver to work more closely with communities. Those are your local headlines. We're going to take a quick break, but stay with us. You're listening to News 101 here on CITR 101.9, broadcasting to you live from the Student Union Building at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver.
November 17th through the 24th, keep 101.9 on your FM dial and your eye on CITR.ca for updates on all our fantastic Fun Drive events. Help keep your station at the top of its game by making a donation during Fun Drive. No donation is too big or too small. Call 604-UBC-UNIT or check out CITR.ca/Fun Drive for more information.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the Student Union Building here at the University of British Columbia. So today is a special edition of News 101 in which we will be pandering, I guess is the right word to use, for your donations to help support independent media through the airwaves of the University of British Columbia. So to donate, you can go to 604-822-8648. That number again is 604-822-8648, which conveniently spells out 604-UBC-UNIT. But who are we kidding? We live in the internet age. You should go online to www.citr.ca/donate. Or if you just go to citr.ca, there's a massive donate now button. But I'm asking you, please be sure to specify and use 101 as your show of choice and help show that I am actually worth my position here.
And just to let you know, CITR runs 365 days a year. But we only do Fun Drive on these 7 days, starting from November, 14th?
14th. So from last Thursday to this coming Thursday. Yeah. So there's really only 3 days left to donate and show your support for independent news and independent media at CITR. And before we keep pandering, we're going to go to some national headlines with CJ. CJ?
Thank you, Iqbal. Canada has joined Britain and the United States in announcing new sanctions against Iran in the wake of a UN atomic energy report that suggests that Tehran is trying to build nuclear weapons. The new sanctions prohibit nearly all financial transactions with the Iranian government, and individuals, entities to the list have been added to that list. Britain already has ordered its financial institutions to halt all businesses with their Iranian counterparts, including the central bank, though the sanctions are not expected to target trade in Iranian oil. Very convenient.
That's actually really interesting, because I thought Iran had a nationalized oil company. So by not trading with the Iranian government, aren't you just making the one exception with oil?
Absolutely. I mean, it speaks of their interest in the Middle East.
Actually, like a second thought to that. I mean, Iranian oil is controlled by OPEC.
Is it?
Yeah, so OPEC. So I guess it'd be more trading with OPEC than it would be actually trading with Iran, but I'm just going off topic.
So OPEC must have lobbied in the UN.
Well, I mean, OPEC is Saudi Arabia, too.
Right.
Saudi Arabia, it's a lot of oil-producing company, and it's... So, I mean, and the U.S. is never going to snuff Saudi Arabia. Neither will Canada.
So, going on with that headline, meanwhile, the U.S. Treasury Department plans to designate Iran as an area of, quote, primary money laundering concern, a move that's expected to isolate the country from the global financial system. The United States is not expected to add Iran's central bank, Bank Merkazi, to its formal sanctions list, a move which could effectively cut it off from the international financial system, causing oil prices to spike higher and hurt U.S. economic recovery.
And those are your national headlines from CITR 101.9 FM.
Headline.
Yeah, your national headline. And so back to our Fun Drive special finale, actually. This will be our last Fun Drive show at News 101. So this is your last time to donate to... I mean, you could keep donating, but this is the last time you'll be hearing me asking you so intently to donate. And some people might ask, you know, you do get CITR for free. If you own a radio, even if you have a car, all cars have radios in them these days. So really, you pay nothing for the great entertainment and news coverage you get from CITR. So, I mean, that should be enough reason to donate. But even then, we're going to give you some kickback. So there's something to get in return. If you donate $30, you get a Friend of CITR card, which is essentially a membership to the station. And with that card, you can get discounts at a lot of, you know, really cool record stores and the like around Vancouver. So, I mean, you're going to be part of the inner circle of CITR. I think that's worth $30, personally.
Well, record stores, boutique stores, skateboard shops, and all kinds of other fun things.
Yeah. All sorts of fun things. For $60, you get that Friends of CITR card and a cooler. I mean,
what?
I don't...
All the things you can do with a cooler.
Yeah, all the things you can do with a cooler, you know.
Yeah, you can put CDs in the cooler.
You're basically partying with CITR every time you have a party and use a cooler.
Imagine this summer when you go down to Rec Beach and there's all those naked people everywhere. And, you know, you got to hide your beer at Rec Beach. I mean, if cops come down, open container. I mean, even if you're not going back from the straight... home from a liquor store, they can confiscate your beer.
They can.
As I have learned.
I don't think the police have a warrant to search a closed container.
Yeah.
That's a News 101 fact for you.
Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. But if you donate $101.9, that's a play on our frequency, 101.9 FM, you'll get a Friend of CITR card, a cooler, and a T-shirt. But if you bump that up to $175, you'll get the Friends of CITR card, the cooler, the T-shirt, and a travel mug to put whatever contents of your cooler you might want to enjoy. At $250, you get two Friends of CITR cards, so you and a friend. You can impress your friends and show them how much you support CITR. Get a cooler, a T-shirt, a travel mug. You can host a listener hour. You can be on the radio.
On the radio.
You can be me. I think that's saying a lot, you know.
I want to be Iqbal really bad every day.
Yeah, every day. That's the only reason Nina even shows up anymore is that one day,
exactly.
One day she'll be me. And so we get an hour, host a listener hour and a tote bag. So, I mean, you could just, like, actually, if you go up to $250, $500, if you double that, you'll also get a CITR hoodie. You can rep CITR all day, every day. You can be CITR. And you can wear
and
all that stuff while you host that listener hour. Imagine that. When you walk around the streets, people will be like, that guy...
is on the radio.
Yeah, he's on the radio. He supports CITR.
That girl or guy.
I mean, a guy in a colloquial way. Not only does he support CITR, not only is he on the radio, he has two Friends of CITR cards. Maybe I should be his friend and get or her friend.
Yeah.
Or her friend. I corrected myself.
If you're a girl, just remember, this goes to you too.
It goes, yeah, of course. That's why we have Nina here to remind me. And so you get the hoodie, and not only will they think you're a great support CHR, that you have a friend card to give away, but that you have $500 to give.
Yeah.
I mean, most people, they say fashion, things like, I mean, not that I agree, but people drive nice cars to show how much money they have. Everything's a status symbol. Your status symbol can actually go towards something that helps your community. So to donate, you can go to 604-822-8648. That spells out 604 UBC unit. That's 604-822-8648. Or you can go online to www.citr.ca/donate and be sure to specify News 101. And then we get some recognition for all our hard work.
Actually, if you specify News 101, you also get an added bonus. This is only when it's 250 or 500. You also get an added bonus of getting to go on a blind date with Iqbal. So,
I mean, that's
I mean, I know I would want that because I want to be him. So,
but
I can only dream, though.
Employees are not eligible for this. So,
darn.
So Nina can live vicariously through you. not only will you make yourself happy, you'll make Nina happy.
You'll make me happy.
And I mean, that's a high priced commodity these days. I mean,
the price of happiness.
Yeah, you can't really put a price on it.
No.
But trust me, folks, when you are on the radio, your money is well spent.
And when you're on the radio, you can say whatever you want.
Just look at us now.
You can talk about anybody from Robertson to Harper to Obama.
You can talk about your blog. and then everyone's going to listen to your blog.
Shameless self-promotion is what News 101 is about, except we're actually more about independent media. So if you want to support independent media...
Independent media.
And, I mean, over here, we're as independent as it gets. We're not even paid to be on here. There's no, there's nothing tying us down.
I'm only here because I want to be around Iqbal.
Well, yeah.
But that's already been established.
And that is not corporate interest. That is personal interest. And we're only here for a love of journalism and a love for our listeners to bring them independent news from an alternative perspective.
So if you're against corporations...
Not against corporations. If you oppose corporate media.
And if you're against the whole melting pot, everyone turning into one thing, then...
Nina, that refers to immigration.
No, it can refer to the type of world we're living in now.
I think you're talking about all those reporters who repeat that same cliche in every little story that they talk about. We do not repeat them because we don't listen to them.
So you should donate by going to 604-822-8648. That number one more time is 604-822-8648, or go online to www.citr.ca. And you can also check out our new snazzy Fund Drive website. It's got a whole makeover for this. And click on that giant donate now button, and you can donate through credit card. You can come in person and donate too if you actually want to check out where all the magic happens. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you're lucky, I might even be here.
You could only be so lucky.
Yeah, and you can see what your money is going to support. And
well,
yeah.
And, well, and be sure to go doing that now. You can pay by credit card. You can come in by person. You can even set up this cool thing where it's a direct deposit from your account every month. So, I mean, imagine to hear these classic ramblings of Iqbal Ahmed in a bar, you'd probably buy me a drink, right? With this creepy mustache I'm growing, definitely you'll try to buy me a drink.
No, but if you get to go out on a blind date with him, he will buy you a drink. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about the extra expenses.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so a drink is guaranteed.
So
I'm saying if you'd buy me a drink for what I'm saying, you can just take the money that you would spend on it and just donate to CITR. And not support my self-destructive habits. And support me coming into CITR, keeping me off the streets, away from the watering holes, and making myself a better person. Thank you, listeners. We're going to take another quick commercial break. You'll listen to CITR 101.9 FM. This is News 101 and our special Fun Drive episode of News 101. And before I let you go, how can you donate, TJ?
You can donate at online at citr.ca/donate, or you can call us right now or anytime in the future
at 604-822-8648.
And time for a commercial break, but don't worry, I'll be right back.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca.
Last night, Darth Vader came down from planet Vulcan and told me that if I didn't
donate during the CITR fund drive,
that he'd melt my brain.
Yeah, well, let's just keep this brain-melting stuff to ourselves, okay?
The 7th annual CITR fund drive is just around the corner, and
Darth Vader
will melt your brain if you don't give. Donate now at citr.ca/fundrive and tune into the future November 17th through 24th and keep CITR going for another 800 years.
CITR does not provide a radio to tune into the future. Any profits made from the future knowledge are the sole property of CITR. Any profits made from current knowledge are also the property of CITR. All profits are to be brought to the CITR studios and smaller markets.
Hey, yeah, it's me, the passive-aggressive robot. I am reaching you from the future to let you know about Fun Drive 2011. Let me tell you something about the future. It gets worse. The radio, I mean, in the future they don't even use real 13-year-olds to sing into vocoders. They use robots, singing preteen robots. Have I scared you with this vision of the future? Good, very good. You can turn that fear into happiness by donating to CITR's Fund Drive 2011. It couldn't be easier to save the future of independent music. CITR's Fund Drive 2011. Just call 604-UBC-UNIT or go online to CITR. CITR/FundDrive. Donate to CITR's Fund Drive and tune into the future. It will make you feel good. 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 Good.
Welcome back to News 101 here at CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from the Student Union Building at the University of British Columbia. This is our special Fund Drive edition where you can donate to CITR to help support independent radio and News 101 to support independent media. You can go to citr.ca/donate or call us anytime now to Thursday at 604-822-8648. Up next, we'll go to the international news and headlines brought to you by Free Speech Radio News.
3 days of clashes between demonstrators and security forces in Egypt have left at least 33 people dead and more than 1,500 injured. The protests are putting increasing pressure on the military council to speed up the transition to a civilian-led government. David Enders reports from Cairo.
The violence began on Saturday morning after riot police evicted a couple hundred demonstrators who were attempting to reoccupy Tahrir Square, which was the focal point of the demonstrations that drove Egyptian dictator Hosni Mubarak from power in February. The square has been cleared forcibly by the police and military twice since March. The demonstrators were mostly men who had been injured during what Egyptians refer to as the January 25th revolution. Among them as well were relatives of some of the nearly 1,000 people who were killed by security forces in January and February before Mubarak stepped down. One of those injured was Alaa, who came from Kina, about 10 hours' drive south of Cairo.
In the morning, they sent the police and kicked us here. They threw us away, and after that, we go there for our friends, the other victims, other. After that, they hate us again, and there, and here, and everywhere. Well, we escaped, really, because, and we are injured, and all of them, here, and all the people, here, you can see, and they have no mercy, okay, with us.
Since Mubarak's departure, the country has been ruled by the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, made up of the same officers who served on the council while Mubarak was in charge. The demonstrators are demanding that the military council speed its proposed transition to a civilian government, as they have been since Friday, when tens of thousands demonstrated peacefully. On Monday, demonstrators were calling directly for Field Marshal Hussein Tantawi, the head of the military council, to step down without delay. Protesters continued to break pieces of the sidewalk in the square into rock-sized pieces, facing off against tear gas, buckshot, and live ammunition. Snipers were reported on rooftops early Monday morning, as demonstrators set up field hospitals. One of the doctors was Tariq Salam, who was taking a break from treating injuries shortly before the field hospital he was working at was hit with tear gas on Sunday evening.
Shotguns, plenty of shotguns, cut wounds, suffocations, bruises, especially when the military came, many bruises. I think they will storm us again. They will go on and clear the square again. They took people coming out of the hospital, wounded guys. Just arrested them when they are on their way out.
Despite the unrest, the military council, as of Monday evening, said it still planned to go forward with the country's first parliamentary election since Mubarak's ouster, which have been scheduled to begin next week. The Muslim Brotherhood, which appears to be the best organized and perhaps most popular political party in the country, has condemned the violence but not encouraged its supporters to join the demonstrations. As Alaa spoke in Tahrir Square, his fellow protesters tried to revive a demonstrator who had apparently passed out after being tear gassed.
We are not with the Brotherhood of Ikhwan Muslimin, okay? We are not with any party. We are not with anything. We just Egyptian. That we are been here in 25th of January. After that, we've been here in 28th on all the revolution days. And we are the real hero of the revolution. We don't care about any riot for us. We need only... You can see. He's angry from the revolution too.
By Monday evening, more than 1,500 people had been injured and demonstrations had begun in other cities in support of those in Tahrir, with more demonstrations planned for Tuesday. David Enders, FSRN, Cairo.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. That story about the continuing protests in Egypt was brought to you by Free Speech Radio News. And you can get their full newscast and more stories like that at fsrn.org. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the Student Union Building here at the University of British Columbia to you through the airwaves and through the internet. Welcome back.
Welcome back to a special Fun Drive edition of News 101. CITR is hosting Fun Drive in order so that we can raise funds so that you could support your community radio station. To donate at any time from today up to Thursday, go online at citr.ca/donate and click on the giant blue ostrich link. Or call us anytime at 604-822-8648 and please specify that you heard this at News 101. So
we were just discussing the University of California, Davis, voice crack, police chief, and the pepper spray that was sprayed on peaceful protesters at the University of California, Davis, and it sparked us.
A lot of outrage throughout the country, and just kind of my preliminary thoughts on it was, me and Cedric come talk with earlier, was this will really have an effect on the way, especially on university campuses, such protests are handled in the future. I mean, it was a tragedy, but seeing how much bad publicity it got for UC Davis, for the chancellor, for the university as a whole, I think that in the future, when there are Occupy-style protests on university campuses, they'll be a bit more wary about excess force, because I think one of the big things about these protests, I mean, what we've seen in protests in recent years, even starting with, I mean, not to make too much of a connection to what happened in what happened and is happening again in Egypt, is just when tragedy like this happened, there's brutal force used. I mean, everyone is watching. There's, you know, cell phone video of there's video of what's happening in UC Davis. There's video of what's happening. I mean, almost like as it happens, videos are coming out. What's happening on the ground in Egypt?
And it's interesting because it's usually the other countries who are watching and scrutinizing every single move. Like when it was happening in Egypt earlier this year, the news were filled with all these statistics about how people were wounded by the police, and people were saying how crazy that is and how that would never happen in our countries in the West. And then, you look at these, and in a way, it is happening.
Yeah, here. The public outrage is, I guess, when people take a step back and see it from an outside perspective when things happen in, like, personally, we're going to get into a little bit of a commentary side of the show, is that personally, I mean, I think when people draw too close of comparisons between the Arab Spring and Occupy protests, I get a little, you know, turned
but
off.
But this isn't a protest. This is, I'm not making them similar in the nature of the protest. I'm just saying in the nature of police reaction brutality.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, we watch the videos of people getting gunned down in Egypt. Yeah. I mean, that's my personal opinion, and I think that's why the response from our own government officials on what's happening is a bit more nuanced. I mean, when there were protests in Greece, I think like maybe almost a year ago, when the first austerity measures came out, and you know, young people and old people were protesting, people were being, you know, gassed. I mean, not gassed, but tear gassed and things like that. Like, and people were definitely being, you know, hit by batons and general riot police tactics. Even then, the international community did very little in condemning the way it was handled, you know? I think that might be a more apt comparison than would be the Arab Spring, you know? I mean,
one of the distinctions we have to make between all these three things, Occupy, Greece, and Egypt, is that the different level of control behind who's attacking the protesters. In Egypt, it's the military.
But the military is the government at this point. That's what they're protesting against.
Which is why it's very different from Occupy, where what's happening in Occupy across America and Canada is the police is being governed by local politicians. It's not the federal government that's controlling police.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing right now is like a growing sense of unease within local police departments, mm-hmm. but not on a national level, which is what's happening in Egypt. So which is why it's very different.
Yeah, that's very fair. I mean, I don't know much about the specific protests in Greece, though. I mean, I'm not sure if it was conducted on the national level police crackdown. You know, I think it.
I think it was Athens.
Yeah.
I mean, Athens, but I don't think they brought the military in to deal with it.
No, it definitely brought the riot squad and SWAT team.
Yeah, but I mean, that's usually. But I mean, I don't think they're running Greece, but I mean, in the United States, that like riot squads and things like that are definitely in kind of like the more local government runs. I mean, when you get to the federal government, you're dealing with not necessarily SWAT teams, but things like, you know, ATF and ICE and like things that are specific jurisdictions, and that's in the federal level. I mean, if you look at like Waco, you know, those police weren't local police; they were federal police.
Waco,
like Waco, Texas. In the 90s, there was these.
You talking about WACO? Waco. I thought it was pronounced Waco.
Like Waco. Yeah, like, you know, with the Advent Church and when the and like it was like, so like it caught fire and all the federal police were there and it was a cult essentially. And then there were reports to ATF, which is Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which is like a federal agency. I think it's fairly new at the time. And they're the ones who kind of raided it. And with it, somewhere in the raid, there's still a little inconsistent with what exactly happened, but the compound caught fire, and like hundreds of people inside died, women and children. But, you know, they were stockpiling weapons, and this is a really big tangent. But what it comes down to is the events of Waco was cited as the main motivation behind Timothy McVeigh blowing up the Oklahoma City FBI center.
Okay. That was a huge tangent, Iqbal. But what I'm trying to get at is how do police justify using pepper spray? I mean, at what point do you think protesters holding arms and sitting down is an assault?
Well, they weren't only doing that after they pulled them apart. They pulled apart the protesters who were sitting down and because they were linking arms. So that's another.
No, but what I'm saying is, how can you justify pepper spraying somebody in the face when all they're doing is sitting down peacefully?
Yeah.
It does not make any sense
to
me.
I think a part of it is also that, I mean, pepper spray hurts and it's a use of force on the police side.
Yeah, I mean, thank God they're not tasing them.
But there is this growing part of police culture in the United States that if it's a non-lethal weapon, they'll be much looser on how they use it. Just because it's labeled non-lethal.
But what I'm wondering is, were they obstructing something? Were they...
I don't know the details, but it looks like they're blocking a road or something of the like. But, I mean, I don't think that if they were just, like, sitting in a park in a circle that wasn't, you know, affecting anyone, that they would react like this. I mean, I don't think that the events would have transpired in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to say that it was justified using pepper spray, but, I mean, that it was...
I mean, I'm pretty sure that every police department has a legal team, and from a legal perspective, this is absolutely outrageous. I mean,
but the legal team also has to go off of what the guidelines given to officers are, and I was doing something on the internet the other day. I don't know how even credible it is at this point, and that's why we're independent media, and I can say it, is that, like, by them not responding to police demands, and so for them to keep peace and order in what was going on, they had to remove the protesters who weren't responding to police demands with there to, you know, keep peace and order.
But how can they keep peace and order by disrupting peace and order by using pepper spray? It does not make any sense. It's completely counteractive.
Well, I mean, the nature of protests like this is to, in a sense, disrupt, not necessarily peace, but disrupt order, right? Like, when people, you know, sit-ins and things like that are disrupting day-to-day order of what goes on in society, you know?
Not necessarily if people can walk around them, right?
Walk around them, but...
Well, I think that, also the point of these is to inform people, and to inform people, you have to make some sort of
statement.
Yeah, I mean, you have to disrupt day-to-day things, or else no one's going to listen to you. I mean, I think that's why this whole Occupy tactic, the tactic of camping out... is been really effective of actually galvanizing or even just like making a lot of getting the message out there.
Well, at the same time, it's been effective, but it's also been counter-effective in the way that then it becomes people like in Vancouver, it becomes people who actually have no place to live and they take advantage of that. So then it really is counterproductive to what it was supposed to do in the first place.
But I mean, like, it's like the image of people camping out, you know, is very powerful. Not powerful, it's very different and it attracts media attention. And that's what I think the whole idea of Occupy as a tenting movement was a good call in the start because, you know, it was very different. It brought because these people were there constantly in it.
I mean, yeah, it gave people a point to converge.
Yeah, you could converge, and I mean, it's a spectacle when it comes down to it. I mean, whatever you
It take, shouldn't take, be, but yeah.
But it is. Like, when people protest, like during the Iraq War, during the, I forget, it was the Republican convention that gave George Bush, like, you know, when he just accepted the nomination for the second term, it's kind of like a formality, mm-hmm. and the massive protest that happened in New York during that. I mean, these are incredibly large protests, and media coverage was, I mean, they got media coverage maybe not as much as they should have gotten for how large of a protest it was. So when people stand around holding signs and things like that, that's like, you know, it's easy to look that over. No, it's just like, oh, another protest, oh, corporate greed, like, oh, that guy in the corner over there. But when it's like a big symbol, when it's a big spectacle like that or something sitting there, it catches your attention, you know? But we digress. What the show should really be about is the CITR Fun Drive 2011. And
if you'd like to hear more conversations like this and hear more about what average students like us think about events going on around the world, please tune into our show. Listen in every Mondays and Friday.
But most importantly, you should go to 604-822-8648. The number again is 604-822-8648. Or go online to www.citr.ca and be sure to specify News 101 as a show you want to support. I'm not saying that in the funding that you donate goes directly to us in any way, but it helps keep the entire station afloat, and it just shows where the money's coming from. And I gotta meet my quota, guys. They're not gonna let me stay another semester here unless I meet this quota. Like, for the sake of all the great insight you hear from Iqbal Ahmed, you should go online and donate or call 604-822-8648. Anything you want to add, Nina?
Anything I want to add? Yes. I am very, very thankful that Iqbal is here, and I would like him to stay too. So,
there is something I want to add. I mean, since we are independent media and we broadcast a show from an independent station, this conversation that we just had is something you will never, ever hear in commercial radio. And not just commercial radio, you won't even hear it on TV. You won't hear anchors turning to each other and having a discussion mm-hmm. about protesters being pepper sprayed. You won't hear a discussion about politicians not making the right decisions. Mm-hmm. This is only something you will hear at community radio.
And I think an important part about that is that when you listen to corporate media or media control, I mean, come on, Rupert Murdoch and all that stuff, News Corp, when you listen to that, you get people who... You get a very certain type of pundit on that, you know, people who stick to talking points, people who have... I mean, they have an image to protect, really. Here, our image is very thin at this point, so we can actually say exactly what we think.
Yeah.
And come on, like, talking points, you should really, this entire conversation we just had was very impromptu. So talking points don't even exist, notes don't even exist when you have discussions.
Yeah.
It's all exactly what we think, and I think that's the beauty of independent radio, because you're not going to hear that on, you know, people who are getting paid and really want to keep their jobs.
And when you're driving in your car, instead of, you know, having to listen to somebody talking about pop stars or some other...
Some breakup or a divorce
and some ridiculous... Or you're listening to news that you're realizing that there's more to it than just what they're saying, then you always have CITR behind your back, 101.9 FM. And we promise we will be talking about the in-depth issues and going into details.
And another thing I want to add is that because we are so independent, that if you feel that there's an issue that we're not covering here, something that's very near and dear to your heart, something that you feel should get more time on shows like this, you can shoot us an email at news@citr.ca. I mean, we'll do
You can call us
on air.
You can call us on air. You can do that, and you can get your voice heard.
Yeah, and we will listen to you. It's not like we will put you on hold and then never give you a chance to speak. I mean, that's the point of independent media. We like to hear what our listeners want to listen to.
And I mean, even our last show on Friday's example, we had a story on the UBC housing shortage, and that was purely brought about by students who were concerned about this issue and brought it towards me and wanted to talk about it. And so we can bring you a very diverse set of topics that you won't hear on other media.
So that was our little spiel about CITR's Fun Drive. If you like what you hear and would like more of it, please.
Or even if you don't like what you hear and you want it improved, you should donate and send us an email with your critiques. I'm always open to those.
Yeah, your donations add to your email.
Yeah, it gives you a little bit more clout. Not that we're credits. Corporate media or anything, or that we take lobbying and listen to...
That is a kind of lobbying.
Yeah. Lobby is important for
citizens. But that's true. If you'd like to donate, go to www.citr.ca/donate or call us anytime now till Thursday at 604-822-8648. That's 604-UBC-UNIT. Thanks for listening. We'll take a quick play a couple of PSAs and we'll be right back.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca. Join New Works at the Roundhouse Community Arts and Recreation Center for Dance All Sorts, Vancouver's most eclectic dance series, entering its 14th season.
The remaining 2011 shows are 2 p.m. on Sundays, October 16th, November 13th, and December 11th. Tickets are available at the door by Pay What You Can donation. Children 10 and under are free. You can also try out a different type of dance every month through the Dance All Sorts workshops at Creekside Community Center on Saturday before each performance.
For more information, visit www.newworks.ca.
Welcome back to News 101 here at CITR 101.9 FM. This is our special Fun Drive edition where we'll be raising funds for CITR radio station. If you'd like to donate, please go to citr.ca/donate and specify News 101, the show you're listening to right now. Or call us anytime, 604-822-8648. Up next, we have the weather for Vancouver. This week's weather is just rain and rain and rain every day.
Aww.
Today's high is 6 with a low of 5 degrees. Tuesday's forecast is rain with a high of 8 and a low of 4. Wednesday's forecast is also rain with a slight chance of sunny weather with a high of 6 and a low of 2 degrees. Get your coats out, people. Thursday is also rain with a high of 4 and a low of 2. Friday also has a high of 4 and a low of 2. Saturday gets slightly warmer, but still in the single digits, with a high of 7 and a low of 4.
Wait, so that means there's going to be a day that's going to be colder than today?
Yes, that'll be Thursday.
Well,
which just means you should get your scarves and jackets out, if you haven't already.
Thank you, CJ, for the weather forecast brought to you by...
CJ, I guess.
Storm Club, where are you?
Yeah, this is shout out to Storm Club. Get your ass together.
So one important thing we do here at CITR is not only bring you media, but we give opportunity to people who that they would not have otherwise. I mean, all of us here are very interested in journalism and broadcast media, and News 101 and CITR has been kind of our way to gain hands-on experience. And it's been really important, I mean, even for me, I mean, I put this on my resume, of course, but I mean, it actually teaches you viable skills and for especially students like us who want to get involved in something like this. And I'll tell you a little story right now about a man named, one of our contributors, a man named Martin Lemlin. When he came to CITR, he was a...
Lone wolf.
He was a bit of a drifter.
Vagabond.
Yeah, not only here or there. CITR added some mushy structure to his life. He was an at-risk teen. I took him off the streets. I even gave Martin, a place to live. Martin would have been homeless if it wasn't for CITR and News 101. If that's not a heartwarming story that'll get you to, you know, take out your wallets and donate some money, I'm really not sure what is. You can donate by going to 604-822-8648. That number again is 604-822-8648. We can go online at CITR.ca and click donate now. Anything you want to add, Nina?
The only thing I want to add is I'm waiting for a fun fact.
Okay, I actually have a pretty long fun fact. This is the most fun fact I've learned in a long time. Was that in the 1930s, actually, fun drive means fun facts. And it's here at CITR News 101, I will give you fun facts. Do you guys know what a Molotov cocktail is?
Yep.
So it's kind of like a incendiary explosive device used a lot by guerrilla war and stuff. It was originally used during the Spanish Civil War, I think against Franco by the Republicans. But the name Molotov cocktail actually comes from the 1930s when Russia invaded Finland during the Winter Wars. And the Red Army had like hundreds and hundreds of tanks. Finland had like 20 or something. They had no aircrafts. And Russia had one of the largest land militaries at the time. And Finland won and kept them out of Finland. And part of the reason was that when they first started bombing Helsinki, which is the capital of Finland, Molotov, he's essentially what we'd call today a foreign minister. He was the commissar, a Russian commissar. And he said, oh, we're not dropping bombs, we're dropping food for them. And so when they actually invaded, the Finnish would take these bottle film with, I think it's mainly like, it's just gasoline, and then you put styrofoam into it to keep it burning. Not that I'm teaching you guys anything that's bad, but anyway, you can look so
far away.
News 101, you're a source for guerrilla warfare. Yeah.
And so what they would do is that they would attack Russian tanks with these, and they call them Molotov cocktails to go with the food that he was giving them. So it's a cocktail to go with the food, get it?
Okay, well, for those of us who aren't that into guerrilla warfare,
this is World War II. It's the most interesting thing ever.
Pretty interesting.
Oh, if you want another fun fact, I was telling these guys here earlier that when professional taste testers, when they eat ice cream and they're trying to rank the taste of it and whatever it is professional taste testers do, they tend to use solid gold spoons because other metals have a habit of leaving an aftertaste and skewing their results. So those are two fun facts.
So, and that will tell you that if you really want to enjoy your food, you know,
use solid gold spoons. But you know what you should do? You shouldn't use solid gold spoons. You should take that money and donate to CITR instead. Because really, solid gold spoons, those won't survive in your dishwasher. They'll
and
oxidate.
You can't listen to solid gold spoons.
Yeah.
They won't give you independent news.
Or fun facts.
Or a date with Iqbal.
Or a date with Iqbal.
I mean, it is a good investment, but so is independent news media.
Mm-hmm. And how can you donate, CJ?
Well, you can tune into our show, or actually, call 604-822-8648. And or go online at citr.ca/donate. That's citr.ca/donate and click on the giant blue ostrich.
Well, that brings an end to our show. Thank you very much for listening. This was brought to you by volunteer efforts. Iqbal, myself, Nina, CJ.
And the newest member of our news team, introduce yourself.
I'm Lisa Anderson.
That was Lisa Anderson, in case you didn't hear.
Produced by all of us, volunteer-based, and we thank you very much for listening.
From the entire news team here at CITR, thanks for tuning in. Please make sure to donate at citr.ca/donate, or come to our big